Okay, this week is Parshas Vayikra. We begin the Chumash Vayikra. We also have the pleasure this week of reading Parshas Zachor, and the upcoming holiday of Purim is upon us. So the Torah begins by Sefer Vayikra with a famous word, Vayikra Moshe, and the Aleph in Vayikra is small, so the Baal HaTurim famously notes the small letter Aleph in the word Vayikra. And Baal HaTurim explains that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to write Vayikra, as he didn't want to appear greater than Bilam, to whom Hashem appeared in Mikre. So he wanted Vayikar. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he wanted to make a compromise. And so, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Vayikra, but the Aleph is small. So the famous Rabbi Yohanan Eibishitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the author of the Yaros Devash, asks why the small Aleph doesn't appear in Sefer Shmos, where the first time we find Moshe Rabbeinu using the word Vayikra in regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to him. Why not stick the Aleph over there if he really wanted to demonstrate humility? So Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz answers, with the fact that Hashem could have used a Malach to deliver a Nevuah and chose to come to himself, that's really the source of proof to Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, and then consequently to his humility by choosing not to demonstrate that greatness. So wherever it was evident that Hashem spoke to Moshe, like in Oal Moed, where Chol Adam Lo Yeh Oal Moed, where there wasn't even a Malach that was allowed to be there, then the Vayikra humility concept needed to be highlighted. But if it was possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was dealing with a Malach, so then the humility is already understood and is already highlighted within the process. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe from Oal Moed, and he tells him, Adam ki yakrav mikem karban la'Hashem. Adam, when he brings a karban from you, and there's a well-known discussion as to the point of offering karbanos. It's a huge discussion. But on the one hand, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim understands the purpose of karbanos as a response to the Avodah Zarah of the nations of the world. In other words, the nations of the world served animals, and thus in response, the Jew is commanded to offer that deity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is a real deity. Ramban disagrees, rather vehemently, if I may. He notes that, if anything, that logic would lead the nations of the world to think their deities power our deity. By the way, think of the themes that have fueled blood libels throughout our history. Whenever our history has been threatened, they say, oh, they drink our blood, they use us, they, the Jews, are involved in that process. And moreover, we know that well before there was a Avodah Zarah to answer, when Noach came off the Teva, he also, the first thing he did was offer karbanos, and he had no one to show otherwise to. So therefore the Ramban suggests that a karban and its process are really the tools of the machshava, dibor, and masa, of the thought, speech, and actions of a human being. In truth, man would need to offer himself as a karban, but it's Hashem's chesed that he offers a nefesh and a dam of an animal to atone keneged the person. This, he explains, is the agada of karbanos. But, says Ramban, there's a deeper Kabbalistic context as well. It should be noted that the Meshech Chachma adds that, in his opinion, there's no real machlokas over here. When one offers a carbon on a bama, there's no reach nichoach, there's no isha la Hashem. It's a merely, in that instance, the bama merely serves to remove and distance the Avodah Zarah concept from the people. So therefore, that's the purpose of the Bama. But when the carbon is offered in the Beis HaMikdash, it has the deeper possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu identified. In other words, that the Ramban identifies as a connection to Hashem. In other words, the understanding is that there is a Reach Nichoach situation, and the Reach Nichoach situation works to explain a deeper connection. A bama can never have a deeper connection. Other mafarshim point out that the goal of a bama was an invitation to an individual. An individual goes ahead and wants to bring people to him. So he brings the carbon on the bama, God's coming to his party. I think this is Rav Hirsch's explanation. But the truth is, we are supposed to move ourselves towards something higher. And that's why there was an Isser Bamos, once there was a higher process to be able to go to. And that's why there's Od HaMizabchim U'Mekatrim BaBamos, that there's a danger that comes along with that process. V'samach yado al rosh ha'ola. There is a concept called smichas ha'korban. And Tosus and Baba Kama notes that there's no gender specificity in the Torah unless the Torah says daber al b'nei Yisrael, and there's an understanding to exclude b'nos Yisrael. There's a similar concept that's mentioned by the Shach in the beginning of Yoridei, in the very first comment of the Nekudas HaKesef. Here, when we talk about v'samach yado, it refers to the smichas ha'karban, and women aren't obligated in smichas ha'karban. Rashi Masechta Rosh Hashanah learns that if a woman were to do smicha, so then it may be a question of Baal Tosef. It may be a violation for her to do smicha. Tosef says it can't be Baal Tosef because it doesn't make sense. But if it comes to smicha, it requires the full force. And if one is not required to do smicha, then one is not allowed to do smicha. And the machlokas over here is if one can do an imitation smicha, a floating the hands on top sort of process. According to Rashi, even the idea of showing some sort of aspect of smicha on a karban for somebody who's not mitzuva is Baal Tosef. According to Tosis, it's not a Baal Tosef if you do an imitation. There's no violation that's going to come out of the process, and maybe that's why it would be allowed. The Chachmei Provence, as cited by the Ravid in the Toras Kohanim, so he suggested, the Chachmei Provence suggested that we would allow a woman to do the smichas ha'karban potentially, but that's the machlokas that exists within the Gemara. Within the different three shitas, Rav Shechta noted that that's true in other Eina Mitzuva V'Yosa situations. Our Rebbe Rav Shechta Shlita would say that when one is in a case of a mitzvah, then one would be able to set aside an Avera. And that's the machlokas of the Tanaim according to the Chachmei Provence. For instance, is a woman who's wearing tzitzis that are shatnas in violation of the shatnas? After all, on the one hand, if a man were to do such a thing and he's a mitzuvah, so then the asay would put the asay of wearing tzitzis would be docha the los asay potentially of the shatnas. But if a person is an ena mitzuvah viosa, if she's not mitzuvah and she does it, does she get the benefit or not? Well, this comes out of the discussion about smichas ha'karban, and it's something that we need to consider and put on our minds. V'nefesh ki sakriv mincha. Later on, when we get to the karban mincha, we leave the realm of Adam, and now all of a sudden we start talking about souls. Rashi notes that the word nefesh is used over here because it denotes that one who brings this type of karban tends to be more impoverished, and so therefore the person is offering his soul in the process. And it suggests that the term nefesh applies simply because the person doesn't have a specific action to atone for, and is atoning for his internal nefesh in the process. Rabbi Simon Shalita explained that the outward expression of the nefesh is an application of its internal expression. And thus the person that's atoning with the karban mincha atones for midos that were off. Rabbi Simon added that the use of the word nefesh comes up when a person gives of his own, perhaps that which would be gleaned through leket, shechecha, and peyah, because after all he's poor, and he's picking up wheat, and he beats it, and he's able to turn it into flour. But then he chooses to take this which is theoretically his own, this his soul, that which he's supposed to be able to provide for himself, for his family with. And instead, the person turns and offers it to Hashem instead. It's to that that we say, Ilu hikriv etz nasho, that it's as if he offered his soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, when you have, this is all you have, and then you turn around and you offer it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're offering God your soul. In life, sometimes we have that responsibility. We don't always pay attention to the fact that we have a responsibility to be makriv our souls. And sometimes that begins with being makriv everything, and being prepared to be makriv everything for a higher purpose as well. What happens if a person is offering a shlamim, im zebach shlamim karbano, right? So the stipler wonders what the purpose of a shlamim is. After all, if a karban is for someone's well-being, then what is accomplished by having an optional karban? So utilizing the writing of the Mesilas Yesharim, the stipler suggests that when one is not into Zrizus internally, he or she should express it externally, and it can serve to awaken the fervor to help him improve. And so similarly says the stipler, when one doesn't feel Ahavas Hashem fully, then by donating a voluntary korban, one will be able to awaken inner feelings of love for Hashem and the desire to serve Him. Rav Pam Zatzal adds that the lesson is quite strong for us today. Any Jew can improve Ahavas Hashem by voluntarily taking upon himself some improvement of a mitzvah. The taking on of the voluntary aspect will inspire continuity. And so the message of Korban Shlamim is, look, I have to be able to offer all korbanos. So sometimes being able to offer something because I want to, that will awaken the Ahavas Hashem on the half-dos as well. The Torah continues with a suggestion that Asher Nasi Yachta, when a Nasi sins. So Rashi notes that a generation whose leader is open to bringing a korban on the inadvertent Avera is Ashrei Adar, such a Dar whose Nasi is able to say that he messed up. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal asks that if it's so hard to have honest leadership, why do we have a mitzvah to have a king? Rav Moshe answers that having bad leadership and no king is worse than having a king who wants to do the right thing, but in that regard winds up being haughty. Worse than both is having a king who's so interested in just being able to do his will, and Jewish leadership can never work with that in mind, because then the person's not leading. The person is merely just thinking about himself. We have a series of karbanos that are offered for Shavua. V'hu eid o'ra'o yadav imlo yagid v'nasa avono. If he doesn't tell, then he should bear his sins. Rabbi Bernhard Weinberger, the Shaman Atov Shalita, explains that even though the pasuk speaks to a Shavua Sa'edos, there's still some aspect that can still apply to our generation. The Shoah, says Rabbi Weinberger, contained both stories of horror, but at the same time, of incredible miracles. Survivors never wanted to tell the stories because they were afraid of traumatizing their children. However, with the dwindling survivor population, there's even a greater need to tell the story or risk having the world forget that this type of evil can still yet exist in modern civilization as well. Emlo yagid ben aso avono. Al derech hadrash. That's our responsibility today. Finally, in the Haftorah, which is the special Haftorah for Shabbos Achor, we are told very clearly that Shmuel tells Shaul that he's supposed to go, Lech Mikisa Esamalek, and he's told, Velo Sachmol, you're supposed to show them no Chemla. Now, the concept of showing no Rachmanos or Chemla on the children or on the sheep is a tough pill to swallow. How we'd understand that command? Rav Ribble and Shalita explained that it's not as difficult to understand that by offering us the definition of Rachmanos, Hashem is also showing us the ultimate gift of Chesed. How else is one supposed to determine who lives and who dies? Who's supposed to determine when murder is considered a question of a mercy killing or when not? Who decides whether an abortion is a Chesed or whether abortion is an act of murder? The fact that we have a halacha and that we have a Torah and the Torah identifies when one is supposed to be merachim, that's a responsibility and a right that gives us a focus to be able to determine when to apply midos. The Shaul who allowed Agag and the sheep to live killed out the children. The Shaul was too much of a tzaddik over here, killed out the city of Nov, Ir HaKohanim later, indiscriminately. So here, by the responsibility, below Sachmolalov, the Torah wants us to understand the depths of Rachmanos and also its parallel, Achzarius. And the answer is, all are to be determined by Hashem. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us opportunities to express and to experience His great Rachmanos, and may in return we all be blessed with our Marvim B'Simcha Tamid. Be well, Shabbat Shalom, and Purim Sameach.